Hi, I'm Tom Luna. I'm a former school board member. I was privileged to serve as senior advisor to U.S. Secretary of Education Rod Paige. I also had the honor of serving for 8 years as Idaho State Superintendent of Public Instruction. During that time, I also served as president of the Council of Chief State School Officers. One thing I have learned in all these experiences is that educating children is not rocket science, it's more complicated. On my podcast, Swimming Upstream, we will visit with courageous leaders who challenge the prevailing tide and inspire all of us to swim against the current. Let's jump in.
Welcome back to another episode of Swimming Upstream. We're taping our fourth season of Swimming Upstream here at the ASU GSV conference in beautiful San Diego. And our special guest today is Kathy Hoffman, the former Superintendent of Public Instruction for Arizona. And just so glad, Kathy, to have you on the show. We've talked a number of times about having you on the show, and happens to work out perfectly here in sunny California. But that's nothing new to you, sunny Arizona, right, is what you live in. But thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You bet. And I want to talk a lot about what you're currently doing, which is your work in special education and that area. But also just want people to get to know you a little bit better. But so tell us about you, born and raised in?
Born and raised in Portland, Oregon, actually. And then right after college, moved to Tucson, Arizona. I became very passionate about education and worked as a preschool teacher, then a speech language pathologist in special education before I decided to make the crazy decision to run for office. Yeah. And when I was elected in 2018, was the first educator to lead the Department of Education in over 20 years for Arizona.
Right. And then, so you say Portland, Oregon. So I graduated from Junction City High School, not far from Portland. And then about 45 years ago, moved to Idaho. So you moved to Arizona, I moved to Idaho, but I think I'm a bit older than you. But anyways, we have that in common, but we're both Oregonians and Oregon Ducks or Beavers. Okay. Not Oregon State. Great. Same here. So we even have more in common. Let's talk about what you're currently doing, because it's fascinating work. And I'm going to start by saying this. Well, first off, tell us what you're doing, and then I'll ask my questions and stuff. But talk about what you're currently doing then.
Well, and what prompted this, you know, after I was in office and really got to see the landscape of public education in Arizona. So as I was making the transition and pursuing this new position at ASU, you know, decided to really go back to my roots of just being so passionate about serving students with disabilities, but also seeing the high need that special education systems, you know, we have the staffing shortages and teachers burning out so quickly, but then also looking at the outcomes of how are students with disabilities doing in terms of high school graduation or college or career, independent living, you know, looking at all the different pieces of that. So, when I came to ASU, I had the privilege of being able to start building some new projects. So my work is in supporting schools in redesigning special education systems, or at least looking to see what are the best models, and to really bring people together to engage the community in thinking about what is the future of special education, because that's not a question we hear very often, but there's such a dire need to be asking that question and to be, like I said, redesigning the systems to improve outcomes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think most people appreciate special education teachers, but they have, unless they have a special needs child, they have no idea what the expectations are, and also even what the requirements are at the federal level, at the state level. And so it can be one of the most difficult areas for a school district, a school and a teacher to be able to provide the kinds of services that every child needs, and especially those special needs children. I know when I was in office as state superintendent, it was something that we continually struggled with, because we knew through IDEA that there was requirements that the federal government not only required, but they would come and do very thorough audits of our department and make sure that we had dotted our I's and crossed our T's. And then we would in turn do the same kind of audits at the district level. And the consequences of not meeting those can be severe. And probably rightfully so, because the kids you're talking about, you know, with their needs, but it's very, very difficult. And so talk to us then about what you're doing now to kind of lean in that area and help find solutions to some of these challenges.
Yeah, so this work just kicked off in the past year or so, and we call this work Project Oasis, which stands for Optimizing Access for Students in Schools. And there's three main arms under the umbrella of Project Oasis. The first arm is a collaborative. It's called a Learning Futures Collaborative. This is a multidisciplinary group where we've engaged educators from all across Arizona, parents, nonprofits, business, public health, even retirees, just anyone who's, and students, you know, people who are passionate about this topic of like learning together, studying models, looking at the data and research to drive and inform our decision making going forward. So there's the collaborative arm. There's a research arm to this work, as we are in Arizona State University. We have faculty, special ed faculty, doctoral students, master's students. So we're starting to do some research projects. And many of our research projects are in partnership with school districts or charters in Arizona. Then the third arm is around professional learning for thinking about teacher and leader preparation, since we are based in the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College, but then also what does the field need? What do teachers, even gen ed teachers, because the majority of our students in special ed are spending most of their day in the gen ed classroom. Yeah. So how are we making sure that gen ed teachers feel confident and have the tools they need to be confident in serving students with disabilities in the gen ed classroom. So those are the three main arms to the work that we're building out.
Talk to me, talk to all of us, Kathy, about one of the heavy lifts in special education is not just meeting the needs of the student, but the paperwork can be very complicated. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows what an IEP is, an individual education program that that are developed for individual students, they can be very detailed. Mm-hmm. And part of the responsibility is to capture when and how those specific requirements are met by the teacher or the school district. And that can be sometimes as big of a obstacle or time consuming as any other part of education. So talk to mm-hmm. us about how you're looking to address that or recognize that.
Well, I think what maybe many people don't realize along those lines is that special education teachers wear so many hats. They have this paperwork, administrative role of all the scheduling and communication with family, evaluation of students to make, you know, tracking the students' progress. So there's this very heavy administrative component to the job, along with and then delivering the instruction and, like I said, monitoring students' progress and sometimes even acting like more like a social worker and making sure students have all of their needs met.
Yeah.
So what we see, I know Arizona is not unique in this, but we actually see roughly 1/3 of our special ed teachers leaving within their first year of being a special ed teacher.
First year.
We have that very high turnover rate. I think it's around roughly 20% of our special ed teacher positions are actually vacant, and it's becoming a very difficult to fill type of position. So again, how I see us addressing these issues is people who are working in special ed are working so hard and stretched so thin. So how can we, from Project Oasis, offer supports and best practices, and how can we enhance teaming? Team teaching is one of our initiatives in the Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College to help build out for gen ed and special ed teachers to be working together to then also make our classrooms more inclusive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. when you you mentioned that you are working with people from very diverse backgrounds mm-hmm. and stuff. What's the role of parents in that group that you're working with to identify solutions?
Yeah, parents are a part of this work, a very critical voice in this work. And what I do hear often from parents is the they want our school systems to be doing better and to be providing really tailored needs, of course, the student population, when we talk about students with disabilities, is incredibly diverse in terms of the needs of the students, whether a student has cognitive impairment or autism or a reading difficulty with like dyslexia. So, I mean, but parents are very passionate, critical part of this. And so part of what we ask our community members, like parents, is how do you define success for your child, and where do you see opportunities? And we want to know more about, because some of our schools have a more, what we would call more like an inclusive type of program, but then we also have more specialized programs. So for example, we see a lot of autism specific classrooms. Some people refer to that as self-contained specialized classrooms. And parents are choosing, you know, they choose both. Right? Yeah, we have some go one direction, one go another direction. And we want to understand how are parents making these decisions and what do they like about each of these types of models.
Let's talk about the teachers then themselves and the kind of training in most states. I'm assuming it's the case in Arizona. There is another certificate or a credential in order to qualify to be a special education teacher. My opinion is they all have a ticket right into heaven. They're doing the Lord's work when you're working with special needs kids. And but talk to us about ways to remove obstacles to that certification without lowering the bar of expectation.
Well, at ASU, we have seen a slight decline in enrollment for those special ed certificate programs, which is a bit concerning. And actually, in terms of teacher pay, because there's such a need for special ed teachers, on average, they actually are paid more in our, when we look across the state. So
your districts have the flexibility to pay more skill.
And they're probably using certain other buckets of funding have stipends or retention bonuses. But the average pay is actually around $60,000 for special ed teachers, which is higher than the average teacher pay in Arizona. So there are, even with the incentives in place, what I've heard from talking to our pre-service teachers who are going through the teacher preparation programs, when I ask them, why did you not consider going the special ed route and getting certified for that? They say, they hear, well, it's just so much harder. You know, it's harder workload and harder students, more behaviors.
Yeah.
So that is the perception we're hearing from younger teachers. And so there's a lot of work to do around that as well.
So at the end of the day, what's the hope of the Project OASIS then at the end of the day?
The big vision is to improve outcomes for students with disabilities and who are ultimately then people with disabilities. And like I said, we're looking at how can we measure that, looking at the more lifelong outcomes in career and independent living, and hopefully that improves things like post-secondary attainment for those for whom that's appropriate. But really, it's about improving outcomes, and we have a long way to go.
Long ways. Yeah. You mentioned also that having communities involved in really then creating a community response to this. When you talk about these kids transitioning into adulthood and being able to have success, whatever that we define for that individual child, I'm thinking that's the real opportunity for that actually happening is having community members and not just educators and education groups involved in this.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. We're trying to engage the business community and really be intentional in thinking about, how do we make sure that it's not just our schools that are focused on this, but even then the careers that they can attain in the future.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. So listen, if folks want to learn more about what you're doing, where would they go?
The website's a bit long, so I would just recommend Googling.
Okay.
Project OASIS Learning Futures Collaborative at Arizona State University. I can send you the link.
Okay.
So it's directly the whole thing memorized.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a website, and at this time we don't have like newsletters or anything yet, but but they can go to the website and get a little more information.
Well, it's new what you're doing, but it's not an issue that is isolated to just Arizona. Yeah. And it's not isolated to small schools, middle-sized schools, or large schools, right? It's a it's a challenge. And like I said, when I was in office, I'm sure it was the case when you were in office, that it was really one of the most difficult things to really get your arms around. And because there was so many moving parts and so many unique needs of the individual children. But if you truly believe that every child has the opportunity to learn to meet their full potential, then obviously every child includes those with special needs, no matter how severe. And, you know, we're one of the few countries that offers, you know, a full inclusion type of a model, right? And mainstreaming as much as possible and to the benefit of the students.
Yes.
You've seen that in your work and stuff and how important that is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, listen, we're so grateful that you were here to spend time. And we're going to have to keep in touch because we want to see how this unfolds.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other people around the country are going to want to learn more about what you've learned and see if there's opportunities to duplicate the work that you're doing. But we always do one more thing. And so I probably should have given you a little bit of a warning, but you've lived in Arizona long enough. We always ask our guests to share one piece of trivia about Arizona that maybe most people don't know. So...
trivia about Arizona.
Yeah, one fact or piece of trivia.
Well, when I I ran for office and I would let people know, I didn't realize till I was running for office for a state position that we were the sixth biggest state in the country in terms of geographical landmass. So I was like, oh my gosh, I put so many miles on my car.
Yeah, I don't think most people would realize Arizona. So you're saying it's just a large state.
It's a large state.
Okay.
And then, the Phoenix, Maricopa County area is the fifth largest city in the country. So, a lot happening in Arizona. It's
a big
state, big city.
Well, there you go. I think that was a piece of information about Arizona that I didn't know. Yeah. I suspect most people didn't. But Kathy Hoffman, the former state superintendent in Arizona and now leading Project Oasis at the Arizona State University to really lean in and help kids that are probably in many cases the most vulnerable and the most need, and those are our students with special needs. And I appreciate the good work you do. And thanks for being on our guest here on Swimming Upstream.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Folks, we'll be back soon with another episode of Swimming Upstream. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. And remember, our children may only be 22% of our population, but they represent 100% of our future. If you found this conversation valuable, subscribe to our YouTube channel and find us on your favorite podcast platform. Swimming Upstream is part of the Strategos Podcast Network. To view the entire lineup of our shows, visit our website, strategosgroup.com.